Just take a lively companion wherever you go. Take a portable radio. Take a portable radio.
WKZ. Around the planet on the World Wide Web.
Hello, Rexall Drug Show. Gary Moore speaking.
Hello, Junior. This is Jimmy.
Jimmy Durante, where are you?
I can't get down to the Bond show. I was at the beach and three girls buried me in the sand.
Well, so what?
So come and get me. I forgot where they buried me.
From the Fox Beverly Theater, for the mighty seventh floor loan, your Rexall Drugstore presents Jimmy Durante and Gary Moore. Before an audience of 1,500 people, all of whom bought a bond for their admission, it's Jimmy Durante, Gary Moore, Jerry Sullivan, Roy Bargy and his orchestra, and yours truly, Howard Petrie, brought to you by your friendly Rexall Drugstore. Rexall, an old familiar name that has always stood for quality and value. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as co-star of the 7th War Loan Rally, we bring you a young man whose brain is just like a war bond. In another 10 years, it'll mature, too. And here he is, Gary Moore.
Well. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, my friends, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Delighted to be with you, and especially delighted to see so many bond buyers here in our theater audience tonight. And to start things off in a proper mood, friends, I'd like to ask everyone who has come here to our theater tonight to please rise to their feet. Will everybody please stand up all together, please? If you will, up in the balcony, too. Thank you. Now, will you please push back your seats? Push your seats up, if you will you? Push your seats up. Now, just stand aside and let me look there for a minute. Oh, that's wonderful. Well,
Gary, what are you looking at?
Howard, just look under those seats. Look under those seats. That's the first chewing gum I've seen in 4 years. But all kidding aside, Howard, it is a thrill to think that someday my pictures may be showing in this very theater.
Your pictures? Well, Gary, you haven't made any.
Well, not yet, no. But just this morning, I went out to MGM to have a fitting for my first screen work.
You did?
Yeah, and believe me, that's hard work, fitting screens. Very tough, but you know, Howard, after our broadcast, they're going to show a special movie preview in this theater.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Moore, you delightful creature.
Well, so that's the preview tonight. Frankenstein takes a bride.
Now, listen, Mr. Moore, I'm even lucky to be here. Why, I just got here with the skin of my teeth.
Your teeth? Well, in the words of Winston Churchill, never have so many owed so much to so few. Tell me, Mrs. Wertelbird, why didn't your husband Wilberbud come with you tonight?
Oh, he couldn't. Poor boy. He's working down at the blood bank.
Uh-huh.
He sits there all day under a big sign.
Well, what does the sign say?
It says, if you look like this, don't bother.
Well, I'm glad you're here anyhow. Now, why don't you go take a seat out in front for the rest of the show, huh?
Oh, my. It's a wonderful being in a movie theater.
Yeah.
I keep hoping to meet my dream man, someone like Ronald Coleman. And the minute I meet him, he'll sweep me in his arms and kiss me and kiss me and kiss me. Oh, boy, I'm cooking with gas.
You're not only cooking with it, you're inhaling it. So with Mrs. Wertelbird and back to the audience, we can concentrate on stage setter and the one and only Jimmy Durante in person.
They would have stopped us before. Now even when things go wrong,
woo-hoo!
Why you feel better, you even look better. Blue skies smiling at me. Nothing but blue skies do I see. The foregoing is a paid political announcement by the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce. Smiling at me.
Look, Jimmy, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you really should let me do the singing on this show. Why, your voice is nothing more than gastritis in tempo.
Junior, I'm sorry you said that, because I've heard you sing, and believe me, for your voice, Beethoven wouldn't give a beat, Wagner wouldn't give a wag, and Damrosch, he wouldn't like it either. But on second thought, maybe you're right. Neither my voice nor my health has been up to par lately.
Well, then why don't you go see a doctor?
I did. I saw Dr. Balan. One flight up, out of the high rent district.
Mm-hmm.
And what an examination he gave me. He looked at my nose and said, inhale.
And what happened?
I don't know. We haven't seen the doctor since. If I wasn't tired, I'd have got the nurse, too. So, giving myself a quick diagnosis,
yeah.
I said to myself, Durante, you're tired. Why don't you take off some time and spend a quiet day at the beach?
I see. You said to yourself, Durante, you're tired. Why don't you take off some time and spend a quiet day at the beach?
Mr. Moore, you remind me of a parrot I once slugged on Meatless Tuesday. To continue, I went to Pismo Beach, which is near San Badu. And having an eye for culture, I selected a spot near some beautiful girl.
Oh, Jimmy, the girls are really wearing scanty bathing suits this year, aren't they?
Yes, scanty and skimpy, too. While I was playing in the sand, not looking for any trouble, I happened to pick up a loose thread.
And what happened?
Before I knew it, I unraveled three blondes. And me, who can't even crochet.
That relaxing is all right, but it's the swimming that puts the hustle in your muscles.
I was just coming to that, Garrison. You should have seen the classy new bathing suit I wore. I was the envy of the beach.
You were?
I had pearl buttons on the sleeves.
Pearl buttons on the sleeves? Jimmy, that's no bathing suit. You were wearing a long suit of underwear.
I was? No wonder I trapped so many fish in my back pocket. But going from the reed to the ridiculous,
okay.
I jumped into the water with a tail tied to my bathing suit. You see, I was doing the dog paddle. When that happened, I find myself face to face with a great big swordfish.
Well, gee whiz, what happened?
Just as he was about to attack me, he took one look at my schnozzle and said, I quit. You've got a superior weapon. I was so mad, I bit his tail off.
Well, aside from the swordfish, did you run into any other interesting people? Any, shall we say, pulchritudinous femininity?
No, nothing but girls. A few yards down the beach, a bunch of bathing beauties were practicing a water ballet. What designs they made. First a daisy, then a star. And finally, those beautiful girls made a human wheel complete with spokes. And boy, did I have fun with that wheel.
Really?
Yeah, shake hands with Durante the hubcap. lucky Jimmy. Lucky Jimmy. But I soon tired of sashaying la femmes and decided time to take my sun bath.
Well, I suppose you took all the necessary precautions against overexposure of the epidermis to the sun.
He can certainly make a simple question sound classy. Irregardless, I looked up and the sun is shining. I'm ready for my sun bath. I takes off my cap, I puts on my sunglasses. I takes off my robe, I puts on the olive oil, which I squeezed by hand, and lies down. No sooner than I'm flat on my back when along comes a cloud. No sun. It's spite work in the stratosphere. So I gets up, I takes off the oil, I puts on my robe, I takes off my glasses, so I puts on my cap at a saucy angle. And what happens? The cloud moves away and out comes old Sal again. What a small world. So once more I takes off my cap, I puts on my sunglasses, I takes off my robe, I puts on the olive oil, which I squeezed by hand, and lies down. Tragedy strikes again. Along comes another cloud and again no sun. I'm beginning to feel like Eddie Cantor. So once again I take off the olive oil. I puts on my robe, I takes off my sunglasses, and I puts on my cap. I'm just about to give up when finally the clouds disappear and the sky is clear. So once again, I takes off my cap, I puts on my sunglasses, I takes off my robe, I puts on the olive oil, which I squeeze with my bare hands, and lies down. But, Junior, it's no use. I still didn't get a sunburn.
Well, why not?
By this time, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Now you know that you can't go wrong. Why, you can stop up and say a little song.
Jimmy, and Jimmy may have trouble with advice on the beach, but when it comes to more important advice on more important subjects, here is Howard Patriot.
There's a chance that some of you folks may be trading in a Rexall drugstore without even being aware that it is a Rexall drugstore. Maybe you and your friends know it as Mr. So-and-so's drugstore. Drugs, if it's Rexall, it's right. Boggy and the orchestra now in a mighty seventh arrangement of Strike Up the Band.
orchestra. What an orchestra. And what a job that Boggy's got. Such steady work.
What do you mean, Jimmy?
In the winter, he uses his baton to lead a band. And in the summer, he sticks a nail on the end of it and picks up papers in the park. Tell us, dear Junior, what's in the Culture Corner tonight?
Well, Jimmy, in the past, I've given many lectures of a musical nature, you know. For lovers of the brass section, I once wrote a book entitled, You Can Play the Trombone If You Practice a Lot, But You Can't Just Let It Slide. Tonight, James, I should like to pay tribute to that most beautiful of all instruments, the human voice.
Go ahead with your lecture. I shall listen with my ear trumpet, but I won't really give a hoot.
Thank you, Jimmy. Tonight, music lovers, we shall speak of one particular type of singing, the male quartet, and the man who invented it, Fibber Snyder, J. Forblewinder. Let us go back to the year 1814 and the small village of Weasel, Wyoming, which is a suburb of the large town of Gozda. Fibber Snyder Forblewinder was the leader of the village symphony orchestra, perhaps better known as Fibber Snyder Forblewinder and his photo-finish philharmonic. But there was just one thing he didn't like about his job. It was the concerts he had to conduct each year featuring the town's leading soprano, Miss Letitia Kronk-Squadget. But during the concert of July 15th, things came to a climax. Miss Kronk-Squadget started to sing... I have never heard anything like that since my sister backed into an ice pick.
I couldn't standing one moment longer.
And throwing down his stick, Forblewinder jumped from his podium and ran for the wings. But so great was his haste that he stepped right on the feet of four men in the violin section. And the four men howled in agony. Why, it was beautiful. Not one voice, but four voices joined together in harmony. And hardly thinking, Forblewinder turned around and ran back over their feet in the opposite direction. Magnificent. And historical, too, for thus the first male quartet was formed. Oh, and what a quartet it was. The men would sit four in a row on the stage with their bare feet in front of them as Forblewinder dashed madly back and forth in his hobnailed boots, stamping on the foot of the man whose voice he needed next. And it sounded like this.
Down, 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 down. Down, 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 down.
Sensation. And after 300 concerts in the art centers of the world, the National Association of Chiropodists examined their feet and proclaimed them America's Corniest Quartet. But then, my friends, it's often been said that even the best of ideas can be used too often. One year later, it happened to Forblewinder in Carnegie Hall. They were singing their own theme song entitled, Was It Malice, Alice, When You Trod Upon My Callus? And in this song, the second tenor was required to hit high C above big toe. So to get this effect, Forblewinder was forced to stand even harder on the second tenor's foot than ever before. And when he did... the second tenor's arches collapsed and the quartet was forced to break up. For after all, who can sing with a second tenor who is always flat? Yes, it was a catastrophe. The people booed, the music critics sneered, and Leopold Stokowski went west and married Gloria Vanderbilt. But then, at least the idea of harmony had been born, and it grew by leaps and bounds. And today, my friends, when you've got four people, that's a quartet. And when you've got six people, that's a sextet. And when you've got eight people, that's an octet. And when you've got 100 people, yeah, that's a cigarette line. Mighty stirring music that's on tap now, with the words to be sung by a very stirring young lady. In other words, the queen of our charm department, Miss Jerry Sullivan. Jerry Sullivan sings.
Here comes number seven, to buy a bun, to buy a chunk of Uncle Sammy's magic wand. Get on the barn wagon. When you hear them yell out, come out, wherever you are. Come out of your shell and shell out. Here comes number seven, so lend your jack. To bring your Jack and Joe and Jim and Johnny back. So make sure at the first chance you saw the bond away. Cause here comes number seven today. All aboard. It's a trip that anybody can afford. Here's the 18-75 special. That's the price that anybody can afford. Wherever you are, come out of your shell and shell out. Here comes number seven, so lend your jack. To bring your Jack and Joe and Jim and Johnny back. So make sure at the first chance you fall the bond away. Come, here comes number seven. Buy an extra wallboard.
Thank you, Jerry. Jerry Sullivan is the name, ladies and gentlemen. Remember it.
And now the Rexall Falls Wig and Bustle Club brings you a stirring detective drama. End title?
The Case of the Missing Ring, or Who Washed Out the Bathtub?
Well, Junior, I've always...
Oh, Mrs. Vanty, if it isn't you, if it isn't you, if it isn't you.
Well, lady, if it isn't, you've certainly made a fool of yourself.
That I found you and Mr. Burr here. I am Mrs. Ipswich Van Middleditch, the second.
You're the second. That first one must have been a beaut.
Gentlemen, I am giving a lawn party at my home for my society friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like you to attend and sell war bonds.
Charmed, to be sure. You see, I'm one of the 399.
399? Mr. Durante, you mean 400.
No, we blackballed Reggie Astorbilt. Caught the bounder cheating at badminton.
Cheating at badminton, Jimmy, but how?
Loaded feathers in his shuttlecock.
Mr. Randy, if you and Miss Moore will write a song about me and sing it at my party, I'll buy a $50,000 bond.
$50,000? Why, that runs into the hundreds.
Yes, it does.
Now, I'll tell you what, that's the deal, Mrs. Van Middleditch.
Wonderful. Good day.
Come on, Jimmy, let's be off to Mrs. Ipswich Van Middleditch is the second.
Yes, let's be off to Mrs. Ipswich. What you just said, the second. Well, Junior, here we are. Boy, this sure is a swanky place.
I'll say it is. You know, she entertains a lot of Hollywood people here. Right now, Johnny Weissmuller is her house guest. He's living up in a tree.
That's natural. But doesn't he get lonely up in the tree?
Lassie lives downstairs.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're just in time. The guests are starting to arrive.
And I'll sing the arrival of Mr. and Mrs. Peter Van Swiggen the second, Mr. and Mrs. Cheviot Hutchinson the fourth, Mr. and Mrs. Jasper Whitehall the third.
Let's get out of here, Junior. There ain't no winner in the joint.
No, Jimmy. Let's stay and mingle with the debutantes. If I can just find the beautiful blonde society girl, I'll introduce myself to her like a true blue blood. Then I'll kiss her hand, Jimmy, like a true blue blood. Then I'll take her out on the terrace like a true blue blood and... Then I'll take her in my arms like a true blue blood, and then I'll...
Yes?
Plasma, Jimmy. More plasma.
Yes, Junior, you got something right there. Junior, I'm glad to see that you're at home with society people, too.
Oh, yes, and while I think of it, Jimmy, when it comes time to eat, you'd better watch me so you don't make any mistakes.
All right.
For instance, whenever I eat a sandwich, I always break it in two and hold it with my fingers.
Oh, and coot, I always fold mine in four parts and then stuff it in my mouth.
Mr. Durante and Mr. Moore, how nice. But why did you come alone? I thought you two were married.
Oh, no, we're just awfully good friends.
Oh, isn't he clever? And I'm so anxious to hear the song you've written about me. Have you finished it?
Oh, yes. If you'll just write a check for that $50,000 bond, We'll sing it for you.
Oh, wonderful. Friends, friends, gather round. Mr. Durante and Mr. Moore are going to sing a song about someone you know. And when you hear the very flattering lyrics, I'm sure you'll guess just who it is. And Mr. Durante will play the piano.
I could have went further, but there ain't enough notes.
And Mr. Moore will accompany on the drums. Yes. Now, gentlemen, come in.
What's the matter?
Mr. Moore, you're supposed to follow the tune, not chase it all over the joint. You start again, Mr. Moore.
Now what's the matter?
Junior, I've asked you not to interrupt me while I'm getting sent.
Jimmy, I hate to say this, but you were not only getting sent, you were giving off one.
His life would be in danger if this was a portable piano.
Oh, now, please, gentlemen, please let me hear the song you wrote for me.
Very well, we shall begin. Allegretto. She doesn't like a shady joke. She doesn't hike. She doesn't smoke.
Oh, is this delightful?
She doesn't swear. She never flirts. She doesn't wear those skimpy skirts.
Oh, I love this man.
She doesn't dance. She never sings. To her romance don't mean a thing.
Don't be too sure.
She doesn't use those beauty salves, but won't refuse to show her calves.
What?
You ask her name. Well, that's a wow. I'm not singing about you. I'm singing about a cow.
There's the song we wrote for your $50,000 bond. What do you think of it?
What do I think of it? Play that music again, and I'll tell you what I think of it.
This could lead to a fractured keyboard.
Oh, Mr. Moore.
I'm listening, ma'am.
And Mr. Dee.
She must mean me.
I've heard the song you wrote for me.
Well, then tell us, Ma.
The music drags.
Oh, say not so.
The lyrics creak.
You say it creaks.
Yeah, and then the whole darn song just reeks.
What?
Well, I'll buy that bond.
You'll buy the bond.
For Uncle Sam.
You heard her, Sam.
But as for you two, Bond.
Yeah.
Grand.
Jimmy and Gary will be back in just a moment.
Hey, now who will be with you when we're far away?
Eh?
When we're... Let me hear that high note, maestro. What a note.
A delectable note, Mr. Durante.
A delightful note, Mr. Moore. I guess this winds up our bond rally.
On the air, yes. And first of all, before we do anything, we certainly want to thank everybody for coming down and thank Mr. Louis Grimm, the manager of the theater, for his cooperation. And remember, as soon as this program ends, they're showing a special preview of the screen on the screen here of a new picture starring Lana Turner.
Lana Turner? There's good news tonight. You know, Junior,
yeah?
I saw that picture out at the studio, and it's very unusual. When the picture comes on the screen, Lana Turner has her back to the audience.
Her back to the audience? See you later, Jimmy.
Where are you going, Junior?
Around the other side of the screen.
That's my boy who said that.
Good night, Mr. Durante.
Good night, Mr. Moore.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, folks. Good night,
folks. We'll be looking for you next Friday night, same time, same station, when we'll be back with another Jimmy Durante, Gary Moore show for your Rexall drugstores. In the meantime, visit the friendly Rexall druggist who brings you these programs. And remember, you can depend on any drug product that bears the Rexall name. In drugs, if it's Rexall, it's right. Tune in again next Friday night for Roy Bargy and his orchestra, Jerry Sullivan, yours truly, Howard Petrie,
and Jimmy Durante,
and Gary Moore.
In person!
This program is directed by Bill Cohan.
broadcast the Columbia Broadcasting System.